Hey, hello, my lovely podcast friends. How are you doing? How's your life going on? The week is in half and we are there. As I told you yesterday, there was no show and I really hope that you've missed me. As you can see on my Twitter and Facebook, you will see that I basically just grabbed all the old shows and did a rerun on social media. So I'm gonna have a look on what I did for the listener figures, because likely it's gonna be interesting and not too bad for the listener output. So that's gonna be interesting. I had yesterday an interesting meeting with the Secretary General of the Ministry of VWS, that is healthcare, your well-being and sports. He's the highest government official and we were talking about disability care. As you likely know, I am party-sided, and from quite some time in my life, I spent time in the so-called blind world with the blind institutes, which are only two. And what you see, there are a lot of things that can go different, a lot of money that you can save by just working more efficient. Now, I don't say that for everyone who's listening to me from the blind world, I don't want to take your care away and don't want to take your healthcare away. I just want to do it more efficient. So that's a bit what we are doing and what we talked about. And it looks really promising, it looks really interesting. The chat was really pleasant. They want to have me to give a few talks for their employees, just to make a change in their mindset, because most of those government officials think within rules, regulations and those type of things. And what you see with the persons and the people with reduced eyesight, we fit in, for example, a part is education, that's a different ministry. You have a part income, that's a different ministry. Then you have a part that's about the healthcare, that's a ministry. Then you have, there's already three ministries that are talking on it. And that's interesting to see from their perspective, but it's just a bureaucratic nightmare for most people. And a lot of things can go different and more efficient. So that's what you're gonna do. And I really, really, really look forward to it. I have some small comments and improvements already that I will give them just as a free gesture from, hey, think about it. So that's it. And then if you're gonna have a look at the business and finance news, then there are two things interesting for me. And they are both in the energy field. The first is that Saudi Arabia is going for solar panels. And that makes total sense. I mean, it's a bloody big sand thing, where if you kick your foot in, then the oil erupts out. And basically the only big problem for Saudi Arabia is what they're going to do when the oil is gone, because then they are one of the poorest countries in the world, like Yemen, the neighbor country where they are executing a full genocide and nothing more and nothing less. And the really terrible thing is that the West is really supporting them in killing people. I mean, it's insane, and I don't like killing people. I don't like violence, I like peace and talking, but unfortunately I'm a minority. So what they are doing is now they're gonna use solar energy. So the country with the cheapest oil, but due to failing government, they need to 85 to 86 oil price a barrel to support the welfare state. They're not gonna go for solar energy. So they're gonna do something smart. And what I'm just wondering about is, why are they so incompetent to rebuild a new economy? If you look at Dubai, for example, there's also a country or an emirate that is really depending on the oil revenue and gas revenue, and is now it's less than 25% of the government, of the income and economy of the country. So you could do it, but ultimately you can say that if a country has natural resources, it's bad for the country. And there was once a research about it, I believe it was from Credit Suisse, but I'm not sure about that one. And they were talking about it, and they took a list of the countries who manage the revenue well, and then manage the revenue from natural resources that you could exploit, like gold, silver, uranium, gas, oil. And they came to the conclusion that Australia is doing it well. Well, if you look, Australia has a lot of natural resources, gonna go to Asia, so that's good. And the government is spending their money reasonable. Second country was Norway, with the world famous investment fund, which is interesting and quite crazy, because the investment fund is not allowed to invest in fossil fuels, but they get their money and their contributions from fossil fuels. And the third country was, and that was to my surprise, the Netherlands. Because in Groningen we have a big chunk of gas, and the Dutch government sold it away for free, and now it's almost gone and gonna get big problems. And another big problem from the Dutch gas is gonna be Belgium, because Belgium is depending on the Dutch gas. Dutch gas is from the natural composites and how it's made, really unique in the world. So next to the Dutch one, the Dutch infrastructure is gonna be changed. The Belgians are also gonna need to change their complete infrastructure. And the interesting part is gonna be who is gonna pick up the bill. That's something that is, are the Belgians gonna do it or are the Dutchies gonna do it? Well, that's that. So that's the first thing. And the second thing that I consider interesting is Apple moving into wireless energy transition. Well, it's something that is already outlined in the Innovative Energy Report. So in case that you have bought it, then you had the opportunity to be ahead of Apple. Well, that's an interesting perspective. Beat Apple on its fields. And let's face it, Apple is one of the most valuable companies in the world and they are really big. So that's it. And what it is on energy field, there is a lot in development and a lot of things are happening. And not only green energy. I mean, you have green energy, you just put solar panels on your roof. And that makes sense. I mean, check the interview I had about clean tech with Tom Lansing. It's a great story about how to go from 6,000 a year to utility bills to 3,000 a year and make the change. But it's an interesting part to see how it is going, what's happening. And the second thing that you could do is send energy wireless. But that would mean, as an implication, for example, never charge your smartphone or tablet. And there are ways to make money on it. So I would simply say, have a look at it and just get a report. That's it. That's it on that side. And that's the most interesting part for me from this side. You can let me a comment. You can send me a tweet. You can tweet me at LoadBackOff. You can leave a comment below. And that's just, I look forward to hearing from you. And I must say to you that the average number of listeners a day is really going up. If I look, for example, at when I started this podcast, it was 0. It then went to 4 to 5 a day. And now we are hitting the few hundred a day. So that's going well. It's going up and slowly taking on the world. That does not mean that I'm not looking at getting this podcast on traditional radio. I am, but that's also partly for visa regulation, because if you are a journalist, you can have more easy visas in the countries I'm interested in. And it would be handy, and that's true that it's interesting to get more guests on of higher branding. And with this, I don't say that I don't have great guests, because they are great, otherwise you're not in the show. But if you get the show, if you are in big radio markets in the world on air, then it's really easy to get Mark Faber and the American investment guru, the refugee. And the interesting part of Mark Faber is that he made comments that you're not allowed to make, according to some people. His own company kicked him out. But what I always wonder when people say things, what is the background? Why are they saying it? What is the reason that they say something like that? Is there any statistics that prove they are right? So that's going to be interesting. Let me know what you think about the Faber issues. Having that said, then just a quick and great look at what we're going to do with this show. I have an interview with Tom again. Yeah. The truth is, Tom and I talked for over an hour and it was really fun. So I just cut it into 3 pieces and then you have some ongoing content. We're going to talk about Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, ICOs and options. We're going to talk about options. How can you make money with options? And how can you make money with Bitcoin? And is Bitcoin a coin or is it not a coin? I mean, that's a great question. And if it's not a coin, what is it? And how do you make money out of it? On that side, then, I strongly urge you to check out the Crypto Profits report. You can find it on hofprofit.com/cryptoprofit. So hofprofit.com/cryptoprofits. There you can find the Crypto Profits report. It's a great starting point, because Bitcoin went to the barriers, and Bitcoin is likely going up and going up. And there is an easy reason for it. Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies are, for most investors, not available right now. Most investment money is not allowed due to the contract, and what the money is going to be used for, it's not going into Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. So if, let's say that it would just get the 1%, that people start allocating it to Bitcoin, that they sell gold positions and take Bitcoin positions. And what you need to realize, the paper Bitcoin, the paper gold market is bigger than the physical gold market. Well, I am interested in the physical gold market to keep your money from the bad thing of inflation. Then this is just one of the great things to see what's happening. And it is great to see what's happening, because with all the changes that there are, you can benefit from it. So having it said, then I would say we're going to have a look at Tom. He's going to introduce himself. We're going to talk Bitcoin. We're going to talk options and all those yummy fun things that you need to make. So that's why I would say, how can you make money with Bitcoin? Hey, hello, my lovely podcast friends. How are you doing? How's your life going on? The week is in half and we are there. Yesterday there was no show, and I really hope that you've missed me. As you can see on my Twitter and Facebook, you will see that I basically just grabbed all the old shows and did a rerun on social media. So I'm gonna have a look on what I did for the listener figures, because likely it's gonna be interesting and not too bad for the listener output. So that's gonna be interesting. I had yesterday an interesting meeting with the Secretary General of the Ministry of VBS, that is Healthcare, Your Well-being and Sports. He's the highest government official, and we were talking about disability care. As you likely know, I am part-sighted, and for quite some time in my life, I spent time in the so-called blind world with the blind institutes, which are only two. And what you see, there are a lot of things that can go different, a lot of money that you can save by just working more efficient. Now, I don't say that for everyone who's listening to me from the blind world, I don't want to take your care away and don't want to take your health care away. I just want to do it more efficient. So that's a bit what we are doing and what we talked about. And it looks really promising. It looks really interesting. The chat was really pleasant. They want to have me to give a few talks for their employees, just to make a change in their mindset, because most of those government officials, things within rules, regulations, and those type of things. And what you see with the persons and the people with reduced eyesight, we fit in, for example, a part is education, that's a different ministry. You have a part income, that's a different ministry. Then you have a part that's about the healthcare, that's a ministry. Then you have, there's already three ministries that are talking on it, and that's interesting to see from their perspective, but it's just a bureaucratic nightmare for most people, and a lot of things can go different and more efficient, so that's what you're gonna do. And I really, really, really look forward to it. I have some small comments and improvements already that I will give them just as a free gesture from, hey, think about it. So that's it. And then if you're gonna have a look at the business and finance news, then there are two things interesting for me. And they are both in the energy field. The first is that Saudi Arabia is going for solar panels. And that makes total sense. I mean, it's a bloody big sand thing, where if you kick your foot in, then the oil erupts out. And basically the only big problem for Saudi Arabia is what they're going to do when the oil is gone, because then they are one of the poorest countries in the world, like Yemen, the neighbor country where they are executing a full genocide and nothing more and nothing less. And the really terrible thing is that the West is really supporting them in killing people. I mean, it's insane, and I don't like killing people. I don't like violence. I like peace and talking. But unfortunately, I'm a minority. So what they are doing is now they're gonna use solar energy. So the country with the cheapest oil, but due to failing government, they need to 85 to 86 oil price a barrel to support the welfare state. They are not gonna go for solar energy. So they are gonna do something smart. And what I'm just wondering about is, why are they so incompetent to rebuild a new economy? If you look at Dubai, for example, there's also a country or an emirate that is really depending on the oil revenue and gas revenue, and is now, it's less than 25% of the government, of the income and economy of the country. So you could do it, but ultimately you can say that if a country has natural resources, it's bad for the country. And there was once a research about it, I believe it was from Credit Suisse, but I'm not sure about that one. And they were talking about it, and they took a list of the countries who manage the revenue well, and then manage the revenue from natural resources that you could exploit, like gold, silver, uranium, gas, oil. And they came to the conclusion that Australia is doing it well. Well, if you look, Australia has a lot of natural resources, gonna go to Asia. So that's good. And the government is spending their money reasonable. Second country was Norway, with the world famous investment fund, which is interesting and quite crazy, because the investment fund is not allowed to invest in fossil fuels, but they get their money and their contributions from fossil fuels. And the third country was, and that was to my surprise, the Netherlands. Because in Groningen we have a big chunk of gas, and the Dutch government sold it away for free, and now it's almost gone, and they're gonna get big problems. And another big problem from the Dutch gas is gonna be Belgium, because Belgium is depending on the Dutch gas. Dutch gas is from the natural composites and how it's made, really unique in the world. So next to the Dutch one, the Dutch infrastructure is gonna be changed. The Belgians are also gonna need to change their complete infrastructure. And the interesting part is gonna be who is gonna pick up the bill. That's something that is, are the Belgians gonna do it, or are the Dutchies gonna do it? Well, that's that. So that's the first thing. And the second thing that I consider interesting is Apple moving into wireless energy transition. Well, it's something that is already outlined in the Innovative Energy Report. So in case that you have bought it, then you had the opportunity to be ahead of Apple. Well, that's an interesting perspective. Beat Apple on its fields. And let's face it, Apple is one of the most valuable companies in the world, and they are really big. So that's it. And what it is on energy field, there is a lot in development and a lot of things are happening. And not only green energy. I mean, you have green energy, just put solar panels on your roof. And it makes sense. I mean, check the interview that I had about clean tech with Tom Lansing. It's a great story about how to go from 6,000 a year to on utility bills to 3,000 a year and make the change. But it's an interesting part to see how it is going, what's happening. And the second thing that you could do is send energy wireless. But that would mean, as an implication, for example, never charge your smartphone or tablet. And there are ways to make money on it. So I would simply say, have a look at it and just get a report. That's it. That's it on that side. And that's the most interesting part for me from this side. You can let me a comment. You can send me a tweet. You can tweet me at LoadBackOff. You can leave a comment below. And that's just, I look forward to hearing from you. And I must say to you that the average number of listeners a day is really going up. If I look, for example, at when I started this podcast, it was zero. It then went to 4 to 5 a day. And now we are hitting the few hundred a day. So that's going well. It's going up and slowly taking on the world. That does not mean that I'm not looking at getting this podcast on traditional radio. I am, but that's also partly for visa regulation, because if you are a journalist, you can have more easy visas in the countries I'm interested in. And it would be handy, and that's true that it's interesting to get more guests on of higher branding. And with this, I don't say that I don't have great guests, because they are great, otherwise you're not in the show. But if you get the show, if you are in big radio markets in the world on air, then it's really easy to get Mark Faber and the American investment guru, the refugee. And the interesting part of Mark Faber is that he made comments that you're not allowed to make. According to some people, his own company kicked him out. But I always wonder when people say things, what is the background? Why are they saying it? What is the reason that they say something like that? Is there any statistics that prove they are right? So that's going to be interesting. Let me know what you think about the Faber issues. Having that said, then just a quick and great look at what we're going to do with this show. I have an interview with Tom again. Yeah. The truth is, Tom and I talked for over an hour and it was really fun. So I just cut it into 3 pieces and then you have some ongoing content. We're going to talk about Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, ICOs and options. We're going to talk about options. How can you make money with options? And how can you make money with Bitcoin? And is Bitcoin a coin or is it not a coin? I mean, that's a great question. And if it's not a coin, what is it? And how do you make money out of it? On that side, then, I strongly urge you to check out the Crypto Profits report. You can find it on hofprofit.com/cryptoprofit. So hofprofit.com/cryptoprofits. There you can find the Crypto Profits report. It's a great starting point, because Bitcoin hit the went to the barriers, and Bitcoin is likely going up and going up. And there's an easy reason for it. Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies are for most investors not available right now. Most investment money is not allowed due to the contract and what the money is going to be used for. It's not going into Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. So if, let's say that it would just get the 1%, that people start allocating it to Bitcoin, that they sell gold positions and take Bitcoin positions. And what you need to realize, the paper Bitcoin, the paper gold market is bigger than the physical gold market. Well, I am interested in the physical gold market to keep your money from the bad thing of inflation. Then this is just one of the great things to see what's happening. And it is great to see what's happening, because with all the changes that there are, you can benefit from it. So having it said, then I would say we're going to have a look at Tom. He's going to introduce himself, we're going to talk Bitcoin, we're going to talk options and all those yummy fun things that you need to make. So that's why I would say, Van, how can you make money with Bitcoin?
Okay, Tom, and welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Okay, can you tell our listeners, who most of them will not have heard of you, can you tell them a bit about you?
I was in the Netherlands a long time ago. And I've been an entrepreneur since, I think, 1987. I was still working somewhere, but had my my business next to my regular job. Mm-hmm. And in 2000, I started with my business, only my business. And it was the internet hype time, and I was fully involved in it. And in 2001, I could start all over again, mm-hmm. Knowing a lot more than I did a year before that, but okay. And I started all over again in the Netherlands, in Dutch, so my work is only in Dutch. Mm-hmm. And I've been successful here. And it was, I intentionally published only in Dutch, mm-hmm. because that's a market of 20 million people. And I thought, well, that's enough for me. And I don't have much competition from the English market. If I go to English, then there's a lot of competition. But in Dutch, yeah. Well, if you're born in Holland and you live here, you prefer Dutch. So I thought, well, 20 million is a good market for me.
Okay. So what were the biggest mistakes you made during the internet hype?
Well, the biggest mistake was the fact that I started a business with someone else, mm-hmm. and he had a business.
Well, Tom, you write a few internet investment newsletters, and you write a lot about options and blockchain, which is a combination that you don't hear that often together. Why are you so into the blockchain?
Well, I think that the blockchain will change the world. At this moment, the banks and the governments are very big powerhouses, and if you are born, you have to be registered with the government, and then you exist. Mm-hmm. If you are born and your father or mother doesn't go to the government to say that you are born, you don't exist. Mm-hmm. So at this moment, the government owns you, and I think that the blockchain can make a big change, because the role of the government is an owner of your existence, mm-hmm. of all the things that make you, all your house and everything that is on internet. You should be owner of your database, mm-hmm. and not a government and not all the other governments. If mm-hmm. if you look on the internet, there might be 1,000 places where stuff about you is stored in databases, and I think the blockchain can change it, and then you can become the owner of your own registrations.
Data, okay.
And data,
okay,
yeah.
So, would is blockchain not the thing and the last thing that we needed to try to make big data accessible and available for everyone in the world?
Well, I think blockchain makes it possible to hold it at bay, because if you are the owner of your own existence, mm-hmm. on the internet, then you can decide where you want to be known. And if someone needs to have your data, you can give them the least amount of data they want to you want to give them.
And
I think there's a big possibility in blockchain to get our freedom and to get our privacy back, but it has to happen yet. But there's a lot of possibilities in it.
But do you think that the government ultimately will give people the data back? I mean, in the Netherlands, we had, I think it was a decade ago, we had the idea that the government want one central medical file, which the government also can access, which got hilarious comments in the parliament about it. And I believe that 25% of the people in it simply said, we don't want to be in it.
Yeah.
So
you're right, and it happens. And I also said that they will not get my stuff. At this moment, of course, the government wants all our data because it's power. But the same Dutch government had to acknowledge that they tried for 25 years making one system that could get all our data together, and they didn't succeed. And now they have a problem because they have a lot of small systems, and the data is not protected very well. So it's just an accident waiting to happen when a hacker is gonna get to a database and takes all our data away, like what happened in America with that company. So that's something that's waiting to happen, and the government will not hand over the data freely. The market, the people will have to push them that far. But you have to have an alternative, and at this moment they are working on it. If there is a better, cheaper, and safer alternative, we will go to that alternative ultimately. If a government like the American government will try everything, but ultimately they will do the right thing.
Okay, so if we look at governments, at least in the Netherlands, they spent a small fortune on IT. Like a friend of, it was for me, a former member of parliament, he once told me that the Ministry of Defense was building an inventory system, an IT thing. Would the standard system would cost a few million, 20 million to adjust it. That billion from 20 million, which is, I would simply say, put five hackers together, let them build it, and for 10% you're done. But the bill is now at 2 billion, and there is no system, and something, the company was making it, thinks another billion is needed to get it working. And I'm just thinking, why do I not get a commission, to be honest? Get me commission for it. I mean, it's insane.
And the billion won't be enough because they would not, they won't get it done, and because they don't know what they want to have, and if they are busy with it, they want to change it because technology is not standing still. So they see, oh, you can do also this with it. No, you can't because you didn't have it in your original drawings. But they want to have it, and they're going to change it. So it keeps on dragging on, and that's why the big database was not ready after 25 years, because they thought, well, we're going to do it with one big database. Then blockchain came along just a few years ago. It's not even 10 years ago, and they saw, well, whatever we wanted to build, blockchain can do it better. So well, they just gave up because blockchain will do it better, but it's not ready yet. And it's just governments are such a problem because they don't do normal project. They make it so big, and they want to do everything, and they want to have power in everything, and that's not going to work. You have to keep it in check. And not make it bigger, and they want to have everything.
And the most common known fact of the blockchain is Bitcoin. How do you look at do you look at Bitcoin, which is breaking record after record after record?
Yeah, well, I haven't seen a bigger disaster yet. Big Bitcoin is a total disaster. It's nothing. It's completely stupid. And why do I say it? Well, it's a coin, Bitcoin.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you ever used it as a coin?
No.
No, almost no one.
Because who is accepting the coin? Let's begin with that. Who is accepting Bitcoin? I mean,
well, only a few people. Yeah. And if they do, they use it as gold. They think you can store your capital in it, and you can, because it's gone from a few cents to $5,000. Mm-hmm. So that's great, but it is not a coin because it's not used as a coin. It gets a higher price because more people know it and then want to join in, and they want to have money. They want to earn the same money as the first people. But it's just a place where you put something like money, and then hope that it gets profitable doing nothing. And it's a disaster. It's gonna be a disaster for the folks that put money in it. Because it is not a coin.
It sounds to me insane that you put money into something. Basically, you put it in a vault, a digital vault in this case, how people use it, mm-hmm. and you think that something happens. When you put money, gold or diamonds or whatever in a vault, the only thing that happens is nothing, that it gets older.
No.
Which could be.
If you have gold, mm-hmm. you know it's not going to do anything. But we know that in a few thousand years in the past, gold had a certain amount of value, and that value still is more or less available and is there. But Bitcoin, what takes the role of gold, is in fact nothing. It's empty. But if you design a coin that is far better than Bitcoin, mm-hmm. and much less energy consuming, mm-hmm. then Bitcoin might be just like
gone.
And it's gone, because everything, that's the coin I was waiting for, now I'm gonna use it. Bitcoin hasn't had much government issues because the government isn't afraid of Bitcoin. It's not used. Mm-hmm. So they don't care about it. If you just finish Bitcoin today, nothing happens in the world market. Mm-hmm. It's nothing. It's a total disaster, and I don't understand why people put money in it.
And do you think that there is like Ethereum, Litecoin, that there is a coin that's gonna take over the role as a currency?
Yeah, it might be, but blockchain. You have to go to the blockchain. Blockchain is a possibility to change thousands of things. Mm-hmm. And one of those things is coin. Mm-hmm. One of those thousands of things. So yes, it might be possible that there will be a new coin. And I think the banks will get new coins. Mm-hmm. And there will be a time that they say, well, we stop with the dollar, we stop with the euro, there's a new coin in town, and the ECB is and Fed are making it, and you have to use that coin from now on. I think that's the future. And maybe there will be a coin, or if it's the Monero, if it's Ether or whatever, that will be used as a coin. But at this moment, mm-hmm. it's not. It's not used. It's not Bitcoin. It's not Monero. It's not Ether. So I'm not a big fan of keeping those coins. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, I am trading those coins. So that might be a strange thing to hear. Why am I trading? Well, I'm trading everything. So why not those coins? There is a market for it, and I'm doing it with in the coins themselves. I'm trading it with options. I can trade it with futures. I'm not doing that, but mm-hmm. but that's because I'm a trader, and a trader can trade in everything where there's money involved and where there
yes,
is
a buyer and a seller.
Volatility. There's a volatility, and mm-hmm. it's great to use that. But I'm not a fan of putting money in those crypto coins.
Okay.
just to hope for more money to get out of that.
You recently launched a report on blockchain. You called it Extreme Crypto Profits. That the title seems to show that you are thinking that there are big profits to make in the field of blockchain and crypto profits.
Well, the fact is that Ether is gone from $10 to $300. Mm-hmm. So there is a hype in that market. So there is profits to be made, but you have to be aware that the lights go out or on, whatever you want, at a certain point, and people will see that it's nothing. If there is a graph that shows you how a hype is formed, it's on the internet. I'm not there's early adapters and everything, and then change of paradigm, and you should search for that that graph. And then get the Bitcoin graph and put it next to each other, and then you see what I mean. It's a hype.
It's an hype, and that means also that the bubble is gonna bust, like the top mania in the Netherlands, the first investor hype in the world.
And you can make a bundle of money out of that.
So how do you make a bundle of money out of Bitcoin and the collapse of Bitcoin and the blockchain technology?
Well, if you're smart, you'll use options. And you use options not to go faster, but to go and use them in a smart way. So put and call options, and you write them and not buying them, and make strategies with them. I'm not going for the big thing up or the big down. I'm just in there and I see the change, and I just want to have those small change and 10% and 10% and 10% and after each other. That's how you make money. Of course, you can hope for the one big 200 or 1000%. You can hope for it, but if you work with the options, you can make sure of it. And I'm not hoping for it, you can do it yourself. So there's a lot of money to be made, but you have to be smart.
So you're a big fan of options. If you read your newsletters, you frequently suggest people to get an option course from you. I will not say grab that option course, because I'm pretty sure that your course is only available in Dutch.
Sorry.
And no, I'm terrible behind with work, so I'm not gonna bring it on the market at the moment. I will contact you later about it.
Okay.
First things first. First getting the backlog away. But you would simply say, so you know a lot about options. You tell people to make money on options, and you tell people to go for a return of 10%, which is more than most people would make with their investments already. So options, I'm always told that they are high risky, and that normal investors like you and me should not go into them. Why do people say that when you say grab them to make 10% returns?
That's why you have to go to a course that I give, and then I'll tell you all about why options are the best thing that ever happened to the stock market. Options are a way like how an Audi car is in the middle of Amsterdam. Is an Audi in Amsterdam, is that an awful thing? And everybody said, no, that's a good car and it's a safe car, so no problem. But if I take that Audi and I go 200 miles an hour in Amsterdam City, then I'm going to have an accident, that's for sure.
That's sure, yeah.
And is that the problem with the Audi, or is it the problem with the guy or woman that's driving the Audi?
I would say the lunatic.
It's the same with options. It's just the same with options. The options are as good as an Audi or Mercedes or whatever German car is. They are perfect. But the person who is driving them, who's working with them, that's the problem. If you don't understand how option works, then you're gonna have an accident. You're gonna lose your money. And options are just great. You can limit your risk, and you know at front what your risks are. You can anticipate what is coming. So it's great. If you buy a stock, it's long only. Mm-hmm. But if you have an option, you have all the options to yourself, and you can just, you can make anything you you want if you like strategy. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Okay. So are the people who say that options are dangerous, are they not simply...
They don't understand options. They have never used them properly. It's like someone who says, Audi, a terrible car, it's so unsafe. Yeah, if you only know to drive 200 kilometers an hour, then it's a very unsafe car.
But, so, to this listeners, you definitely get your option course. I will make a link to it in the show notes pages. So, that's for the Dutch listeners.
We have to find someone to translate the course, because I also have a free course, and if we can translate it, then that would be great. But I'm not going to translate it myself.
You know how good my language skills are.
Yeah, I know how you write in French. Yeah.
There is a reason I'm talking and not writing. Talking is great. Writing sucks.
Okay.
No. And I'm so terrible behind with all the things I need to update and check, so I will go. I'll seriously jump into it, but need to sort it out. And I have a few people in mind who could do it, but their speed is not the speed that you need to get things going.
Yeah.
So first my backlog away, which will take me another few days. Then we're gonna look at new things. First, the old things sorted out. From that, I would say thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Dat hebben we er. Drie stuks. Yay. Ah.